Adam Wainwright out for the season. Yasiel Puig on the DL. So is Hisashi Iwakuma, Christian Yelich, and Max Scherzer might not make his next start. But we do have some good news for you today. Plenty to talk about as we look at the most added players in our leagues and help you out. Getting ready for week four on Fantasy Baseball today. It is Monday, April 27th. I'm Adam Azer. Welcome to the show. Hey, Alan Scott, what's up?
What's the good news?
Alex Guerrero, Jimmy Paredes.
That pales in comparison.
Yeah.
To what, the bad news?
Day, Adam. It's a case of the Mondays.
No, I can't deal with a case of the Mondays.
And yet Scott is very chipper.
Am I? That's what you and Heath both said. I don't feel chipper.
That's good. You should be chipper. He's your favorite player. All right. Well, anyway, chipper or not, we got a lot to talk about here. You know how the Monday show goes. We recap 3 full days of baseball, although there were some rainouts this weekend. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We got Danny Salazar, DFS, struggling starting pitchers, most dropped, etc. So Wainwright looks like almost a certainty. He's got an Achilles injury, out for the year. Feel good dropping him right now?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Any starting pitchers that might be available that you would go look for to replace Adam Wainwright?
Caught me a little off guard with that one because the kinds of questions I've been getting are, sort of like who could I trade for? And, a couple of names that, have popped up for me are, Lester, who I think is a good buy low at this point. And,
Strasburg's back to being a good buy low, probably.
Yes.
Only one of four starts, or is it five, have been Strasburg-like, and that was against the Phillies, so.
Yeah, Strasburg's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a better route to go of trading for
someone. Yeah, I mean, obviously you're not going to get a Wainwright-type production off the waiver wire. That being said, I thought a name just jumped out at me. I guess seeing Mike Fiers owned at 68% is kind of shocking, but not that I dropped him myself. I guess if I consider how he's done, it shouldn't be that surprising.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I picked up Jimmy Nelson in a shallower league. I'm not sure how he's not too available, but
yeah,
might be someone you could look at.
I mean, I had an opportunity to pick up a pitcher, not just a 2-star pitcher for this week, but, moving some guys to the DL. I thought, okay, I could pick up a pitcher off of waivers just because I have the spots available. And honestly, there was nobody available that I was really that interested in getting. So I do think, trade is the route to go if you're losing Wainwright.
Yasiel Puig's on the DL with a hamstring injury. Now, the Dodgers said that he might be able to play in 4 or 5 days, but they had to put him on the DL anyway. Maybe it won't be more than just the 15 days. Could see Andre Ethier get more at-bats, but Alex Guerrero is, again, opening some eyes. He homered on Sunday. He might play some third base. He might play some left field. Is he a must-add right now, Alex Guerrero, who's still owned in less than 50% of league? Oh, no. Now he's up to 58%. Getting up there.
He was a big priority for me in my roto leagues with the bigger roster sizes. Head to head, unless you need a third baseman, or I guess an outfielder. There's probably better outfielders available in a shallower format like that, though. I wasn't as motivated to pick him up, but I definitely think, the most encouraging, I mean, obviously the biggest stat for him is the 5 home runs and 22 at bats, but one strikeout in those 22 at bats, that makes me feel like even if he can't quite sustain this power pace, he's going to be a plus hitter.
And he is third base eligible now, Scott. He just got that third base eligibility.
Right.
Which is amazing considering that he never really gets to play.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, but he just got his fifth game there. So third base eligible for Alex Guerrero. Who are you more excited about right now, Guerrero or Paredes?
Guerrero. I worry a lot about the playing time for him, and I completely agree with Scott's assessment in terms of the size of the roster where you should be looking to add him. But, I think there's still a lot more potential there for rest of season production than with Paredes.
What are you making of Jimmy Paredes right now?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's just a flash in the pan, and, eventually when everybody's healthy, they're not going to have a spot for him. The Steve Pierce thing is kind of interesting because he started for the second time in like 10 games, I think. on Sunday and had a good game, a couple hits. And it seemed like he and Buck Showalter had this agreement where they were going to wait until he felt comfortable at the plate again before getting him in the lineup. So I don't think that's going to be a long-term issue, him being out of it. But there's space for both Paredes and Pierce right now. I guess the most interesting thing I could say about Paredes is I always saw him and Josh Harrison when they were coming up as very similar players. Now, I didn't think Harrison had the upside he showed last year, but looking at their minor league numbers, they seem like very similar players. So I guess it's possible now at age 26 that Paredes could be having a similar type breakthrough, but I'm just not, except in a deeper league, I'm not really motivated to take a chance on that.
I'll run through the rest of the news, and then we can talk about, you guys can talk about who you added over the weekend. Hisashi Iwakuma is on the DL with a lat strain and shoulder fatigue, and he's expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks. I hope this is some type of explanation for his struggles. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Max Scherzer's thumb is swollen. He may not make his next start. They could obviously push it back. Starter sit Scherzer this week.
It doesn't sound very probable that he's going to start, so I would actually sit him.
Okay, the Angels close to trading Josh Hamilton to Texas. That could be official by the time you hear this podcast. And the Rangers are going to pay about $15 million of the $83 million remaining on Hamilton's contract. That's according to Yahoo.
About how many million?
15.
That's it?
That's yeah. It.
I read the Angels weren't getting a player back, right? So they're just dumping him to save $15 million over the course of, what, 4 years?
I thought it was five, like $3 million every year that they're going to send the Angels.
I don't see how that's worth it.
Well,
like, I mean, $3 million is a lot for you and me, but for the Angels.
Do you think he'll produce $15 million worth of value over the rest of his contract?
Over 5 years?
Yeah.
I would bet on that, yeah. I mean, I don't have high hopes for Josh Hamilton having this big time resurgence because he's going back to the Rangers where he had so much success. And I think there's some underlying issues there in terms of swinging strike percentage that suggest to me he's a player aging rapidly.
By the way, it's $5 million a year because there's only 3 years.
Contract.
Okay.
That makes
yeah,
sense.
I don't know if I'd sign him for $5 million a year. I had no interest in picking him up. I assume you guys didn't either.
No.
Let's not forget he's coming off a shoulder injury. He's still out.
And it's not totally clear to me what his timetable is for returning.
It's not clear. I mean, I think there are still questions about whether or not he can play this year.
Yeah.
This
I
year.
Guess if I had like a free DL spot and there was nobody else out there, why not? But that's the only scenario where I'd look to pick him up.
Well, the Brewers think Carlos Gomez will be back not long after he's eligible. These suspensions handed out in the Royals-White Sox quasi-brawl, Yordano Ventura and Volquez each getting 7 games, Lorenzo Cain and Kelvin Herrera 2 games, Chris Sale and Jeff Samardzija 5-game suspensions. They're being appealed. So in terms of the starting pitchers, Al, Ventura, Volquez, Sale, and Samardzija, should we be worried about these suspensions this week, and do we sit them this week?
No. I imagine this will take a while to play out.
Okay.
Jason, why do you call it a semi-brawl, just out of curiosity? There were punches flying. They weren't being landed.
Yeah, that's the thank you. That's the thing I was about to say. But were they landed? Because I don't really remember like a landed punch. I think it just didn't seem like a true brawl to me, Scott.
If I'm, you know, in a scrum where people are throwing punches, it's a brawl to me.
I don't know. I feel like more people needed to be involved. More people needed to be actually throwing punches. We haven't had like crazy fights, I feel like. Am I wrong here?
I kind of felt like this one was on the higher end of the...
Of recent fights, maybe. Unless I'm blanking. But remember when, I cannot for the life of me remember who it was. Was somebody kicked someone?
Was it Cueto?
Yeah, I think it was.
Who was like backed up against the backstop and was,
I think that
just,
was
like
Cueto, yeah.
Spiking people.
Yeah, I don't remember. But I feel like things have been a little bit tamer in recent years with baseball fights.
If it wasn't Cueto, I apologize to him and his family. But I think it was him.
I could try to look it up, but I don't know.
I'm sure you're right, Scott.
Yeah.
Well, whether or not it was a brawl, Al says, start these guys. Jason Hayward left Sunday's game with groin tightness. Start or sit?
I think I would sit.
Yeah, he hasn't been good anyway. That makes it easier.
Severino Gonzalez is going to start for the Phillies on Tuesday. Any interest in this starting pitcher, Severino Gonzalez?
I didn't even go after him in NL only, so nope.
Toronto hoping that Jose Bautista can play in the next couple of days. Start or sit, Bautista?
Yeah, that's a tough one because he is so high end.
Yep,
and originally they were saying, before the weekend, they were saying Monday they wanted him DH, but I haven't heard any update. I haven't heard any, you know, denial that that's going to be the case. I would probably lean towards starting him unless I just had a really good hitter on my bench that, I would like to have in my lineup.
Alex Guerrero.
Do it.
Alex Guerrero or
no,
Jose Bautista?
No, because I'm not sure he's going to play enough.
Yeah, that's kind of tough. Mark Teixeira or Jose Bautista?
Jose Bautista for me.
Yeah, I guess. It's hard to sit Teixeira right now, though.
All he does is homer.
All he does.
Joel Peralta's on the DL, so Yimi Gonzalez. What the heck's his last name?
Garcia.
Excuse me. Yimi Garcia could get you some saves until Kenley Jansen comes back, and really, he's been a tremendous reliever. And Jonathan Papelbon said he'd be disappointed if he's not traded, and the Phillies continue to lose. And I will tell Jonathan Papelbon that one of those two things will definitely happen. I don't know if he's going to get traded, but the Phillies are going to be losing. Hey, FanDuel hosts one-day fantasy contests, and for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel is going to match it with up to $200, and those $200 are going to get earned as you play. So a bonus of $200 up to $200 if you sign up and use our offer code CBS. Go to FanDuel.com and use the offer code CBS. I already made my FanDuel lineup, guys, and I am going to be having an amazing night. I'm pretty convinced. This is the best lineup I've ever put together.
You know, the nights I think that are the nights I don't do well. Actually, that's just most nights.
the best night I had last week when you and I were like all pumped about how well we did.
Yeah.
Was the by far the least amount of research I did. I went on like
right.
20
Me
minutes
too.
Before the game and I just picked like players I liked. I didn't look at any splits or anything, and I don't know if that means something, Scott, but
I guess it wasn't the least research I did, but it was the day where I was like, how am I supposed to choose between all these hitters? They're so alike. There's way too many. I'll just go with these guys.
Yeah. Actually, Sunday, yesterday was the least amount of research I did, or Saturday. I was with some friends for a wedding and I said, hey, do you play FanDuel or anything or DFS or whatever? And they was like, no, I haven't done it. I was like, let's do a $1 league together. So I got my phone out, put together a roster, would have won a 50-50. But did not win the tournament. I should just start playing 50-50s from now on and making 85 cents at a time. All right, who'd you guys add this weekend?
I actually added Danny Echevarria.
Hey!
Which I thought
now.
I would never, ever, ever do.
Yeah, he's playing very well.
But he is. I figured it was worth the shot because I needed I think this is the league where I needed a Zobrist replacement, and nobody on waivers was really that great. And, I think I'd said at some point last year, I thought that, you know, when Echevarria grows up, he could become Eric Ibar, you know, and that's a viable guy in a roto league. And, I think that's an upside he could definitely reach this year.
You know, I actually thought it was more of a hitter's weekend than a pitcher's weekend in terms of players to add. I don't know if you guys felt the same way with Guerrero and Paredes and Echevarria.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't, aside from two-star pitchers, I didn't pick up a single pitcher this weekend.
Who else did you add?
Oh, I added a pitcher in a couple leagues.
Who'd you add?
Pitcher by the name of Jesse Chavez.
Okay.
Now that Kendall Graveman has been sent to the minors, he's replaced with another SPARP and perhaps an even better one, judging by his first start and really by the way he performed all the first half last year before they removed him and sent him to the bullpen. They seem jazzed about getting him in the rotation now. So, it was my two standard head-to-head points leagues I added him in. I didn't really bother with him in roto leagues because the appeal just isn't the same and there's generally more pitchers available there. But in the head-to-head leagues, I was all about Chavez.
Would you rather have Chavez or Drew Pomeranz?
I'd still rather have Pomeranz.
You can have him.
Yeah, I know.
I'm fed up.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people are. I think he's so much better than this. And I think it's a case of, like, each of his last three starts, he's allowed a home run, and it happened to be a multi-run home run. Like, you compare his ERA to his WHIP, it's not that he's been awesome with the WHIP, but it's kind of, like, skewed, I feel like.
By the way, we did a player video for Jesse Chavez late last week, and I had made the joke that, you know, Chavez might not start in the rotation, but there are plenty of starters with secure jobs who say, I wish I had Jesse's stats, and nobody in the control room got it.
Like Jesse's girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Little. Sometimes your delivery, Al, it's a little understated, I think.
Yeah.
Al, did you say, you know, before, did you say,
no,
you know, I wish God, that I had just,
because
that would have been better.
And I also thought, you know, maybe I could have followed it up with, you know, how can I find some numbers like that?
Yeah. Okay. You would have nailed it.
That would have.
He's got the concept, people. He just needs
just
to work
the
on the structure. Yeah.
Oh,
just
well.
Not the delivery.
Anyway, I did not add Jesse Chavez this weekend. I did add I had a lot of middle infield issues. So in another league, added Zach Cozart, who I actually like a lot more than Echevarria.
Really? Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a choice between the two, and I went Cozart.
You know, we were talking about starting pitchers to add off waivers when we were talking about Wainwright earlier, and he is 84. 4% owned, but I was able to add Clay Buchholz in one of our roto leagues, which is one of the bigger leagues I talk about. And it's easier for pitchers to slip through the cracks in that format. 3 out of 4 starts. I'm counting that one where he gave up a lot of singles now. You guys talked me into it. Had a high strikeout rate, but gave up like 11 hits, mostly singles.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 out of 4 great starts for Buchholz, and I think there's some, it's risky, but there's some upside there. You know, I think Jason Hamill at 63%, he's kind of getting a raw deal. He's been kind of Drew Pomeranz-like in the early going, where some home runs have killed him. But he's making 2 starts this week. I actually had to drop him in a couple leagues, so I just made him available and more. I think that ownership percentage is more likely to go up than down in the next 6 weeks plus.
And Scott, in our podcast league, I was the last person to take a shortstop. I've been getting by. I have no complaints with Johnny Peralta. You dropped Danny Santana. And that's the kind of guy that I would have been thrilled to have, you know, at the start of the season. And I don't even know if I'm going to put in a claim for him.
Someone else dropped Starlin Castro in that same league earlier.
I can't believe I missed that. I'm so mad at myself for missing that.
Somebody dropped Jason Kipnis this weekend.
That one I didn't miss. He's on waivers until tomorrow.
I don't understand that one as much. But the shortstop, it's kind of interesting because there's all these guys who you draft not so much because you think they're going to be studs for you, but because they have a better chance than like a Peralta. And so, particularly if it's, like, I have Segura, and I had Segura and Santana, and it's like, am I going to keep Santana around just hoping he's better than Segura? Because obviously there's no middle infield spot. There's no reason to play both. And I just decided I could use that bench spot in a better way for somebody like Jesse Chavez.
Sure. So Santana, guys, I mean, he's no walks, 20 strikeouts. He batted 9th yesterday, I think. I don't know what to do with him. I don't know how to feel about him. What do you guys think? Is Santana going to turn things around?
I'd be really reluctant to drop him at this point. I would not be at all reluctant to bench him. And I understand, Scott talking about a situation where you have 2 shortstops in a league with no middle infield, and it might seem like a waste of a spot. But maybe if you got Segura, that's a different story. But I would actually take a flyer on somebody like Cozart or Peralta and bench Santana for at least a couple more weeks, because I do think, you know, in the end he'll be better than those guys.
Yeah, I do too. And I didn't drop him in the leagues with the middle infield spot, the roto leagues where I owned him. In fact, I'm probably still starting him.
What about Angelton Simmons? He's batting 2nd now. By the way, Marcus Semien batting leadoff and batting 2nd in his last 2 games, so he's been playing well. Might see him move up in the order. Simmons has been batting second the last couple of games. If he were out there and Echevarria were out there and Cozart were out there, where would you put Simmons with those in that group of three?
I put Simmons first.
Okay. I just want to mention a couple of three other players before we move on here. Carlos Martinez and Danny Salazar. They're both owned in most leagues. They're over 80% owned. But are you convinced about these two guys, Carlos Martinez or Danny Salazar, or do you think maybe we could sell high on them?
I wouldn't be that interested in selling high on either, but I'm back on board with Salazar. Doesn't take
much.
Like
one extra start.
Yeah. Don't need a lot of convincing there. But Martinez, look, they both have had consistency issues, but for whatever reason, I have more. I think it's just we haven't seen Martinez's upside for as much or for as long as we've seen Salazar's at times. So I still need a little more convincing with Martinez.
But it's been three terrific starts for Martinez, and the control's been a lot better. And he's relief pitcher eligible. So, you know, who's more valuable to me in fantasy? I don't know if that's a question that needs to be asked because I feel like they're both must-own. And Martinez, if you need him as a relief pitcher, I'd call him must-start right now.
Sure. And Mark Melanson had a very good weekend. Not really striking guys out. Got two saves over the weekend. Didn't strike out a batter. Actually gave up a walk and a hit on Saturday, but had two scoreless appearances. So I guess we'll just keep an eye on
that. I think the next meltdown is just around the corner.
Yeah, I wouldn't drop Tony Watson necessarily.
No.
I'm going to give you guys four names. We've already talked about one. Tell me if you're giving up on them because people have to make some drops right now. And all of these players are owned in 68% of leagues or more. So Brandon McCarthy, who's dealing with an elbow injury and a home run issue. Drew Pomeranz, James Paxton, and Mike Fiers. Paxton says he thinks he made some progress, and his defense really let him down. But McCarthy, Pomeranz, Paxton, Fiers, are you giving up on them?
The ones I would drop in a 12-team mixed are McCarthy and, in a roto league, Pomeranz. Not in a head-to-head league where I could still use him as a reliever. I hold out some hope. Enough hope for Pomeranz there, but 12-team roto, I'd be good with dropping either of those guys.
Well, we're both on the same page with McCarthy, which is kind of funny because he's the most owned of this group.
Yeah.
But Paxton was actually my number one choice to drop because I'm just, like, he was a guy who I remember him being awesome last year because he had that low ERA for so long. But then when I go back and look at the peripherals, it's walk rates was on the high side. The strikeout rate was on the low side. He wasn't healthy in spring training. I just don't feel like you're giving up that much by letting Paxton go.
And I don't think anyone's, as much as I love him, I don't know that anyone's going to pick him up. So I dropped him in a 10-team league. I own him in a 16-team league, but with a shallow bench, so it's more like a 14-team league. I'm not sure if I dropped him there. I own Paxton and Fiers and Teron in that league, doing very well. I'm sure you could tell. yeah, I don't know. Paxton's frustrating. But, you know, you mentioned the injury, and Al, we kind of talked about this last time we talked about Paxton. Maybe that injury in spring training is why he's having such a slow start. And
yeah,
still upside there.
I'm sorry, yeah. It's a plausible explanation to me, which is why I'm more willing to hold out with him than with McCarthy.
So we'll take a look at the most added list now. And I have not sorted by shortstop. I've had a lot of trouble with this lately. But I promise you I'm not sorting it by shortstop. But the three most added players are shortstops. Echevarria is 62% owned. Zach Cozart, and then Addison Russell. So Russell is off to a pretty bad start. I don't know that that's too surprising. Give him a little bit of slack. Anything to say about the number three most added player, Addison Russell?
By the way, because I think it's sometimes confusing if you don't have the list in front of you, Russell's the third most added, but that's made him the most owned of these three shortstops. And I think that's appropriate. It's kind of what I was saying about the shortstop position earlier, where you go for the upside because you know the mediocrity is still going to be there if you have to resort to it. At Russell, I'm not necessarily expecting it at age 21 him to be this fantasy standout, but there's at least a chance for him, and I think we know one day he will be.
I think, Scott, while I totally agree with what you're saying about going for upside at shortstop when you know mediocrity is going to be there, what if you're like 1-2 though? And you need a shortstop. I can't justify starting Addison Russell over Cozart or Echevarria. I mean, he might have a better week, but I feel like if you need a win, I don't know that 1-2 means you need a win right now, but if you're 0-3, you probably need a win. Like, do you just go with the hotter hand?
Well, I guess maybe speaking for myself, I just don't have any confidence. I know Al seems to have a little more confidence in both Echeverria and Kozar, but to me, I still see them as scrubs who happen to have a hot week. So, you know, sometimes there's some value to playing the hot hand, but I feel like when the ceiling is that low, not really.
Number four on the most added list. You're on the mark, Teixeira.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Call that. That's just awful.
You're perpetuating it.
I'm making fun of it. It's different thing
yeah,
entirely.
Yeah, it's here to stay, so, you know.
Well, Mark Teixeira is number four. You know what? I want to take actually a second here to look up where he is in the first base rankings because he's got almost all of his hits have been homers.
I can tell you. Okay. I got points leagues open. He's third behind Adrian Gonzalez and Joey Votto.
I would imagine that's his better format since he does walk. I'll
he
check
actually
out
has
Roto.
More walks than strikeouts this year.
What do you think about Teixeira? He's 88% owned.
Well, he's up to 3 singles now, and that's what I'm keeping an eye on because the home runs are great, obviously, but he can't sustain that pace with them. So for him to remain a fantasy standout, he's going to have to get some other type of hits. And with the extreme shift used on him and his unwillingness, I guess, to really change his approach, he's pretty much spoken of that, right? Like, he's just going to be himself and hit the ball as hard as he can.
Yeah. Yes. And he's fourth in Roto, by the way.
I don't know, and I'm sure he's widely owned.
88%.
If he was out there on waivers, I don't know that I could let him stay there. 88% owned, so in some shallow leagues, he's still available. Because in the points league, he does walk so much. In the Roto leagues, you need corner infield spot to fill, so it's scarcer position. But I'm starting him right now. I'm not counting on being able to start him all season.
He homered off of Matt Harvey on Saturday, I believe, and he homered twice off Jacob deGrom. But I keep going back to the AL East. Well, Cobb and Smiley are, you know, Smiley's back. Cobb will be back soon. The AL East pitching is really terrible, and the Yankees have faced a lot of AL East so far, and they'll face even more this week. So, I mean, I think that's a good thing for Yankees hitters. I don't know if you guys, how much you make of that.
I mean, it's a good point. I mean, and, you know, the Yankees staff itself is not great, but it actually might be the candidate for the strongest one.
I would give it to the Rays once everybody's healthy.
Yeah, once they're healthy, sure.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a really good point.
All right, Alex Guerrero is number 5. AJ Pierzynski's number 6. Any interest?
No, he's playing more than anyone thought, but I think ultimately a rebuilding team like the Braves will. They're just riding the hot hand with him and want Betancourt or Bethencourt.
Yeah. I thought the H was silent.
Oh, really?
I think you're right. But I was thinking about this the other
I should defer to you. You watch a lot more Braves games than I do.
Yeah, but I don't know.
You watch them on mute.
Okay, we're looking it up. Baseball Reference says Beth and Court.
So we're both wrong.
I nailed it. All right, Chris Young, number 7 for the Yankees. Would you rather have Chris Young or Alex Guerrero?
I think I'd rather have Alex Guerrero.
Me too.
Hector Santiago. Way to walk everybody, Hector Santiago.
Yeah. That was kind of interesting because I wrote a blog post early last week comparing him and Nick Martinez saying they're similar, they're having similar starts of the season, and I actually would prefer Santiago to Martinez. And then they pitched against each other, and Martinez was far better.
Yeah, Martinez still not getting the strikeouts, but ERA is under 1, I think, right now for Nick Martinez, right?
He's allowed 1 earned run all season.
So that would put it there. Yes.
There you go. And Chris Archer, by the way, has gone 4 consecutive starts without allowing an earned run. First pitcher since Greinke to do that in the American League.
And I called him a sell-high candidate on Friday's podcast. I guess I still kind of feel that way, but I'm a little more reluctant now because there are a lot of encouraging signs with him. His strike percentage is way up. His swinging strike percentage is way up. He's throwing his breaking ball a lot more.
Yeah.
Slider specifically, which is a swing. You know, usually a slider is a pitch you can trust to get swings and misses on. So It just seems like he's not walking guys, and he has a much better grasp of his arsenal, which is kind of where you see a pitcher have a breakthrough.
And let's just look at the catchers that are in the top 15 on the most added list. There's Pierzynski, there's Nick Hundley, Plawecki, and Caleb Joseph. Pierzynski, Hundley, Plawecki, and Caleb Joseph. Your favorite is?
Plawecki by a mile.
Yep.
Okay. Anybody else on the most added list that you feel like we need to talk about?
Not really. Justin Maxwell's gone from 0 to 16%, which obviously we're still talking about pretty deep leagues here. But I'm surprised because I've seen him picked up in some shallower leagues than I would have expected. And I'm just not – understandably, you know, he's had a couple of big home runs. But, I'm just not convinced that he's – really gonna do that much.
I feel like we've talked about we talked about Yimi Garcia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. One guy we haven't talked about is Alfredo Simon.
Oh, no, Scott, I was gonna say, when do we go to the restaurant, sit down, pick up our menus, and order the big pasta?
Sorry.
No problem.
You still got it.
I still said it. Yeah. talk about Simon, because he had another really good start.
Yeah, he's 84% owned. And while I think that's probably a little high and driven by the 4-0 record, the 1-something ERA, I do think he's much better than we were thinking coming into the year. He was like the player who screamed fluke looking at his peripherals. But a lot of the problem was the high home run rate, and a lot of that was driven by the ballpark, a much more reasonable home run rate on the road than at home last year. Now he's pitching at a neutral park half the time. I think he's going to be maybe Chris Tillman-like, a guy who's on and off waivers in 12-team leagues based on matchups and 2-start weeks. I think it's possible for him.
That actually, I thought you were kind of building up maybe to a bigger recommendation of him, and I actually think that's right.
So,
I don't think he's going to be anything more than that.
But he also, like Nick Martinez, does not strike guys out. So who would you rather have, Simon or Martinez?
I'd rather have Simon, if only because of the supporting cast. He's
right.
Efficient enough to pitch deep into games and has maybe the best offensive baseball, one of them for sure, backing him.
Here's the most drop list. You guys just tell me if anybody jumps out. Don't drop this guy! Joe Nathan, Kendall Graveman, Mike Fiers, Steve
Stop
Pierce.
There. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Mike Fiers, Steve Pierce, Jake Lamb.
Yeah, I wouldn't drop any of the latter three.
Willie,
I've been DL stashing Lamb in a few leagues, and Pierce, I think, will get his playing time back. And Fiers, he's not been good at all, but he's been, for the bulk of his career, obviously high highs, very low lows, but the highs just outweigh the lows. That upside is still there.
Willie Peralta, Willian Rosario, Kevin Kiermaier, Danny Santana, Joel Peralta, Drew Pomeranz. We talked about him.
Yep.
Mark Canna, and I'll make this one our last one. Shin-Soo Chu. I feel like he's very, very droppable.
Yeah, I saw him dropped in a couple leagues. I don't know that I'd go that far in a 5-outfielder league, but 3-outfielder. There's enough outfielders out there, and I think there are questions about his upside at this point.
I'll run through the injuries, news, and notes here before we get to the rest of the show. And Heath's going to come on in a little bit to talk DFS. And I will, if it has to be a long show, it'll be a long show, but I will read emails today because I've neglected our emailers. Christian Yelich on the DL with a back injury. Ben Zobrist, 4 to 6 weeks. Arthroscopic surgery. David Wright likely won't be ready when he's eligible. That's going to be on Thursday, but maybe by the weekend we'll see Wright. Shane Victorino's on the DL with a hamstring strain. You think we'll see Rusne Castillo soon? I know he's still injured, but still, the question applies.
I would think, well, as soon as he's healthy, but I have not seen a timeline for that.
Trevor May expects to make his next start after being hit on the elbow by a comebacker. Yadier Molina's been out with a knee injury. Start or sit Molina?
I'd sit him. I worry that this is a Mesoraco-type situation with him.
You know what? I wanted to update on Castillo because I thought I did see a timeline this weekend. They're hoping he returns to AAA on Wednesday.
Oh, that's good.
Potentially by the end of the week.
Starter
good timing for him.
Starter sit Mesoraco.
Oh, I'm sitting him.
Yeah.
Corey Dickerson. He has a sore leg. Starter sit.
He fouled the ball off his quad, I think it was, which I don't even know how you do that, but that doesn't sound like a long-term issue to me.
No. It's completely unrelated to the plantar fasciitis, too, which is obviously good news.
Trevor Bauer had food poisoning. He hopes to start on Tuesday. John Heyman reporting Washington might keep Yunel Escobar at third base and put Anthony Rendon at second base when Rendon returns. That is pretty much fantasy irrelevant, but interesting.
Well, for next year, you'll be happy.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Rajay Davis day-to-day with a groin injury. He started against the righty on Sunday, but that has not been the norm. And Jacoby Ellsbury sat Sunday with hip tightness. Starter sit Ellsbury.
I plan to start him.
Did you know that Anthony Rizzo has 5 steals? He had 5 last year.
I did, just because somebody on Twitter pointed it out and they prorated that for the season. So that's obviously a ridiculous rate, whatever that was. this year's Todd Frazier, perhaps.
Yeah, it's interesting. Does that do anything? Move him up in the rankings? I mean, make him better than like an Abreu or anything like that?
Oh, I'm not ready to go there yet.
Okay.
But it's interesting. We'll keep an eye on it.
Yep.
We don't have time to get to everything, so let's talk about the struggling studs. I'm going to read a list of names. You tell me who you're worried about. Steven Strasburg. Gio Gonzalez. 5.01 ERA for Gio. John Lester. Good start, not great, but 10 strikeouts at Cincinnati and a quality start. Ian Kennedy came off the DL and got roughed up by the Dodgers. Alex Wood.
Ding, ding, ding.
What's going on here with Alex Wood? Yeah, no, it's weird. 10 walks, 12 strikeouts in 24 innings. ERA of 3.
Yeah.
Shane Green. Market correction against the Indians. And Rick Porcello is owned at 83% of leagues. Might be a little high. He's got a 6.48 ERA. So yeah. Who concerns you?
Well, Porcello, he's too low end, I think, to even be concerned about. But Wood's the one who concerns me because, as a starter, the strikeouts have always been consistent. It's what has made him so attractive. And then him following through with good numbers otherwise last year. They just haven't been there, and I'm not really sure why. In poking around, I noticed he's not using his secondary pitches nearly as much as he did last year, which is kind of funny because Freddie Gonzalez was praising him after this last start and, nice mix of pitches. Well, that doesn't seem to be the case. He seems to be relying way too much on his fastball, which isn't a very fast fastball. And it's giving up a lot of contact as a result. I don't know. My hope is that's just an early season comfort thing. As he gets more starts under his belt, he gets a better feel for the secondary stuff. He'll use it more. Because I think the ability, nothing's changed as far as that goes. But I don't know, something seems to be up here, and I can't quite place my finger on it.
So would you try to make a play for Alex Wood, or would you avoid?
I'd be willing to try to buy low on him in a points league where the SPARP appeal.
Okay,
there's some real concern here for me.
I was just thinking maybe the Wainwright owner could target a guy like Alex Wood, but if you're that concerned,
yeah,
then that's worth noting.
I guess it depends how low you're buying. Obviously,
yeah.
if you sense his owner's on the verge of dropping him or something ridiculous like that, then and look, there's some leagues where people are that capricious with their starting pitchers, so wouldn't it hurt to make an offer provided you're not giving up too much.
Like, you'd give up a Di Sclafani or a Morrow or something that for...
Yeah, 1,000%.
What about Smiley?
Yeah, I'd still do that.
Al?
No, I wouldn't. I'm pretty concerned about Wood, so... And I like Smiley a lot.
Okay. Al, do you want to mention something?
I've got some real concern about Strasburg. Because in the past, I would excuse a run of starts like this and say, well, he's getting the swings and misses. The control's pretty good. Everything looks like, that the process is good. That's not the case now this year. He's not getting swinging strikes. He's the pitches that are in the zone have been very hittable. So I'm concerned. And I'm concerned for Gio too, because he's always been a guy who's kind of skated on thin ice with iffy control, and the control's worse than usual this year so far.
Boy, that team.
Yeah.
I just feel like things are going to turn around. It's like, do you guys believe in fantasy? I think maybe more so for lineups, that teams just go into these big funks. Like, I look at the Twins, and nobody is hitting on the Twins, and they can be better. You want to focus on Danny Santana because he had the BABIP, but Dozier's also been horrible. And, you know, Mauer's hitting for Artists. No power. They've all been bad.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, maybe teams just kind of snap out of it.
And you've seen that with the Marlins in the past week, where they couldn't really do much of anything right the first, you know, week and a half. They lost some close games, but they weren't playing well. And, you know, now they've really flipped the switch. And you see this all the time. And, you know, the A's and the Royals started off doing nothing but hitting.
Yeah.
And I imagine they're, you know, they'll hit their cold spell.
Yeah, I just feel like with Strasburg and Gio, things are going to turn around. Al, you're more concerned about Gio, just obviously
yeah.
He's less, you know, he's not as good.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. He's starting from a place that's more concerning. Yeah, and I think they both could turn it around. I think I have more faith that Strasburg will. But, I can't just wave this one off with Strasburg and say, oh, well, this is just, you know, bad luck or a small sample.
And I feel kind of dumb about this because I argued a lot with you, I think, Al, which I like to do, about Gio Gonzalez. Why are you so low on Gio Gonzalez before the season started? But I went back and looked at last year. So he got hurt early, and then he came. But okay, and, you know, big picture here. Last year, he really had a great September, and that made his numbers respectable. But before September, he just really wasn't that good.
I hadn't noticed that about September specifically. I had done the split between before the injury and after the injury. And after the injury, he was the same Gonzalez as always. That's the way the numbers worked out. Now,
whether that I'll give you the month by month.
To September, I can't say.
All right, let me talk for another 5 seconds or so, and I'll give you the month by month ERA for Gio.
Okay.
Maybe 10 seconds.
Well, it looks like there was like a single. You're right. You're right. There were a couple crummy starts in July and August that probably made the monthly ERA in the high threes.
All right.
September.
Here
we
go. Here's our exercise for the day. 2014. First of all, he had a bad postseason start. 4 innings, 2 unearned runs. In April, he had a 3.25 ERA and then a 7.98 ERA in 3 starts in May. Before going on the DL.
Yeah.
He made 3 starts in June and had a 2 ERA. So he had 2 good starts out of 3. In July, 3.77. In August, 3.77. And in September, 2.48.
Yeah. Man. It was inconsistent there for sure.
I was more concerned when I saw that.
And, he, very unusual for him, didn't walk anybody practically in September. 1.4 walks per 9. But the strikeouts were consistent every month, which is why, you know, he has been viable despite the fact that he usually, you know, walks, you know, like 3.5-4 guys per 9.
And I've never loved the innings with him. I just, maybe he's closer to Francisco Liriano than the higher end. That's about as far as I'm willing to go negatively on Gonzalez. Still must own.
I heard a headset rumble, so I know Heath is in the building.
Oh, yeah.
I've been here for like 6 minutes.
Lies. That's a lie.
Maybe 2 minutes, but that was not me putting the headset on because I've had it on. It may have been me shuffling my papers.
Oh, okay. Well, let me just go through a couple more things before we get to DFS. In deep leagues, do you guys like any of these guys who are owned in less than 20% of, or 30% of leagues, less than 30%? Tim Hudson, Ruby De La Rosa, Tom Kohler, Kyle Gibson, Kyle Obstein.
I think Ruby's worth a flyer.
Yep. 3 straight quality starts, high strikeout rate, low walk rate. I agree.
Yeah, I love the low walk rate.
In the bullpen, the Angels rested Houston Street Sunday. Bobby Parnell's been shut down for a week due to elbow soreness. Joe Girardi, after Friday's game, I think, he said that the use of Miller and Betances will depend on situations. that has not really seemed to be the case.
Though it does seem like Betances has turned things around.
He is back.
Well, it is dependent on situations. If it's a save situation, then Miller goes.
There you go.
Yeah. Miguel Castro is really struggling, guys. I don't know if you think maybe Sanchez. I always confuse Sanchez and Norris. Sanchez would be the one that would go to the bullpen?
That's what I was going to suggest, because he's been so bad as a starter. And they have some starting pitcher depth in the minors. Not a lot of first-tier prospect guys, but a guy like Matt Boyd's tearing it up to start the year. I could just see them, okay, Sanchez isn't doing it for us. We need a closer. That's what we wanted them to do originally. Let's go ahead and follow through with that.
And on that same note, didn't Papelbon just come out yesterday and basically say that he expects a trade?
I think he sort of fell short of that, but, you know, I guess if you read between the lines.
I thought basically what he said was, I hope either I get traded or we start winning. Well, you're not going to start winning.
Exactly, yeah. It's funny, Heath, you and I are very similar. I made the same joke about a half hour ago.
Well, you know, simpatico.
There you go. Have you seen Bad Teacher?
I think I have. Well, that's the one with Cameron Diaz, right?
Yeah, and they say simpatico a lot. It's a very underrated movie.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, Cameron Diaz has a nice catalog of work.
She's terrific in that. I think she should have been nominated for Best Actress from that movie. I know that sounds crazy, but she was so funny in that movie. Cody Allen's been bad. Anybody worried about him?
Well, yes.
Who would you pick up if you were gambling on a Cleveland reliever? To supply
I mean, out of the alternatives, shoot, the guys, I mean, it's clear, it's a no-brainer. And I have no memory lately for
Shaw.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's Brian, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And David Robertson got a win and a save on Sunday against Kansas City, finishing up a doubleheader. So that was cool. DFS time. Okay,
boom,
Heath.
Boom.
Your time to shine, my friend. Thank you for making me feel like my amazing super team is not as amazing as I thought it was. And
I guess we should cover that first.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us why.
The hitters' prices on FanDuel have decreased consistently over the last 3 or 4 days, it seems like. So I only say that for a couple reasons. One, somebody that you thought maybe was an amazing price today, you might just look at them where they are relatively to everyone at their position. And two, if you put together what you think is an amazing team, that doesn't necessarily mean you should spend 3 or 4 times what you normally do because your team's just so good today, because everybody's probably going to feel that way when they look at their lineup, because you can put better hitters in.
I was was totally going to do that too.
Okay.
I was finally going to up my ante, but maybe I won't.
As far as who we're playing tonight.
I'm looking at the prices now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can have just about anybody you want, especially if you don't play David Price. But I kind of feel like, especially with the hitters prices like they are, it's really hard not to play David Price. Because you know you can put a good lineup of hitters together for not very much money.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's a 0% chance of snow, and it's supposed to be 65 degrees, so I expect Price to be his normal self again.
And he's facing the Twins.
What's that?
He's facing the Twins and Tommy Malone.
Yeah, and I mean,
Twins have been terrible. We've been talking about it during the podcast here.
He's already faced the Twins once this year and put up 17.6 fantasy points, and that was only with 5 strikeouts.
I'm sorry, Heath, if you wanted a cheaper pitching option, who would you go for?
Well, I think there's a couple options. One that interests me is James Shields. I know we kind of talked about how we didn't expect Shields to be as good this year, and part of the reason was his strikeout rate had fallen so much. Shields is striking out 10.4 batters per nine so far this year, which is odd, and I don't think it's sustainable, but I don't think it's going to regress against the Astros.
That's a good call.
So he's only 8,100. I think a lot of people will probably play McHugh at 85, but I think I'd rather have Shields. And Shields is the favorite in that game. He's facing a much worse offense than McHugh is. So I think you could take a flyer. I mean, the biggest variance play of the day is, because you could make an argument that you're going to take a flyer on Taijuan Walker against the Rangers offense, because they've been held to one run or less 5 times already this year. Mm-hmm. And Walker has the upside. But I think you could make the exact opposite argument and say, I'm going to stack Rangers against Taijuan Walker because he's been really bad at times, and the Rangers have scored 7 runs or more 5 times.
Who are your bargains and who are you stacking today?
My two favorite stacks are the Yankees and that just awesome offense they've put together. Well, they're playing Nathan Carnes, so
and Alex,
second in the majors with 26 home runs. Carnes has already given up five this year.
And Alex Rodriguez hit two of them last time he faced Carnes, so he's my third baseman.
And then the Orioles against Hector Noesi.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why not? The best part about Noesi is he's equally bad against right-handers. So you don't, it's not like you just have to play left-handed Orioles. And then I've got just, if I have another minute.
Yeah.
Just for Adam Azer, I'm adding a little segment to the end of my column this week. We'll see how it goes.
Small sample size segment?
It's the batter versus pitcher specials.
Okay.
Adam Jones, 6
yes.
for 10 with two home runs against Noesi.
I have him in my lineup for that very reason, and the fact that he's Adam Jones and Noesi's Noesi.
Ryan Braun, 15 for 28 with a home run against Jason Marquis.
Wow, okay, that one I didn't see.
Amram, 10 for 27 with two home runs against Marquis.
Mm.
This one is really the Adam Azer special. Nelson Cruz, 5 for 5 with two home runs against Giovanni Gallardo.
Whoa.
Can't get him out.
How about that?
And then the sneaky one is left-handed Braves against Doug Fister. Nick Marcakis and Alberto Callejas are both hitting about 400 and about 20 career at-bats against Fister.
Actually, wait, who's pitching against the Diamondbacks today? Do you remember?
Matzik.
Okay. Whoever it was, yeah. You want the Adam Azer special. Wait to see Aaron Hill's numbers.
Yes, I believe that. Actually, I decided to do this about 3 minutes before I came on the show, and so I only got to, like, the 7 o'clock games.
Are you sure it's Matzik? I think it might be someone
else. It is Matzik.
Okay, then never mind. Then who I thought Aaron Hill was facing, he has good numbers against, not Tyler Matzik. I guess I saw the
wrong
listing.
I'm going to go ahead and take a guess that Aaron Hill might have good number against Matzik.
No, he doesn't. He's 0 for 2. Adrian Gonzalez, though.
Hey, one more hit and he's a 500 hitter.
Yeah, Adrian Gonzalez is 4 for 35 against Madison Bumgarner. I'm not starting him. And that one is legit. I'm really not starting him because he is 4 for 35 against Bumgarner.
4 for 35 against Bumgarner. Well, I don't think, I mean.
You don't have to start him today.
You don't start anybody against Bumgarner on a day like
right,
today.
Right, so. All right. Let me just give my lineup because I'm going to win a lot tonight.
Okay, this is the Adam Azer lineup, the best one ever.
It
right?
all depends on my pitcher because I know my hitters are going to be great. So I took a little bit of a flyer. I went with John Lackey at home against
yes!
the Phillies.
Thank you.
All right, Al. Thank you for having my back. I've got V-Mart at catcher. He still hits very well against lefties, even with his knee injuries, facing Malone. Miguel Cabrera at first base. The red-hot Jimmy Paredes at second base. Alex Rodriguez at third. Ian Desmond at short. Adam Jones, J.D. Martinez, Brett Gardner. Booyah!
Yeah, I just can't see any way that wouldn't be a great lineup.
Yeah, it's good. It's just we need Lackey.
That was sarcasm, right?
There was a little. There seems like there might be a little bit of variance with those plays there, Adam.
I mean, come on, I got V-Mart.
Adam,
I have three.
Victor Martinez
tigers.
Is batting 189 against righties. That's who they're talking about sitting him against.
He's playing against lefty today.
He's facing lefty.
Oh, you said lefty.
Yeah, right. That's why, and he's my catcher.
My bad. Sorry.
Yeah, no. That's
and
why.
And Tommy Malone.
That's why
and
he's in.
All
there.
Catchers are like the minimum price now, right?
Well, except for Posey.
No, I think, but the most expensive ones up to 30, is down to 3,500. Is that right?
I think Posey was more than that. I'm not sure.
Posey's 35.
Oh, he is?
Yep.
Go Heath. All right, let me read some emails unless you guys have final contributions for DFS. Al or Scott?
Yeah, you had me at Lackey.
Okay. Daniel in McKinney, Texas. Will David Phelps or Jesse Chavez stay in the rotation for their teams?
Chavez, yes. Phelps, no.
Tim in the woods. Greetings, Eden, Adovino, and Sandler.
You getting Wi-Fi out there?
Adams, yeah.
Who's Adam Eden, E-D-E-N?
He was in the garden. Oh. Why wouldn't he use Azer?
Yeah,
I know, right?
Come on.
It doesn't make his last name Eden, does it?
No.
But, well,
what
would his last name be?
I don't think he had a last name.
Adam from Eden.
It was Azer.
A person, and then there was two. I don't think they needed last names.
Oh, no. I don't think they did either.
Okay, here's what Tim says. He says, after resentfully listening to your mandatory DFS segments, I finally caved in and gave it a shot. It's a ton of fun setting your lineup. I get it now. The main reason I'm writing is because I want to know each of your plus minuses in terms of FanDuel earnings. Are you making money off this thing?
gosh, I'm losing so much money. Heath, I mean, Heath's played the longest and the most consistently, and
yeah,
I think you say you'd come out ahead, right?
I've got a career plus number in that equation, but I'm not going to share my career winnings or losings, mostly because I don't know exactly what my career winnings or losings are.
Yeah, me neither.
And by the way, when I say I've lost so much money, I'm talking about playing in $2 games and stuff. I don't.
Right. Well, no,
I put that much money on it.
And again, I've said this a lot. I've just been playing the tournaments, going for the home runs, and I'm probably down like, I don't know, $4 or $5, been playing $1 a day. But I finish in the top half almost every time.
I do think a distinction should be made just for people like, our listener that just started playing. That if you see yourself finishing in the top half of tournaments, that doesn't mean you'd be in the top half of 50-50s.
Okay, so why not?
Because people are in those tournaments, most people are entering 5 to 10 lineups.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going for variance. So they, by nature, have some bad lineups that they would not enter into a 50-50.
Okay.
So there are more good scores in a tournament, and there are more bad scores in a tournament. But generally, I think you probably need to finish in the top 35% to 40% of a tournament to win a 50-50.
Okay. Adam from Rhode Island says, Dear Rob, Julian, and Brandon, where do you rate Brian Dozier on the worryometer?
4. Some worry, but I don't know. A couple seasons with really good power for a second baseman, I don't think that's gone away. 3.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Rob, Julian, and Brandon appear to be Patriots inactives against the Bills in December.
Yeah, I'm sure that's it.
This is from the Nuge in Chicago. Dear Tony, Steve, and Bruce, think big budget summer blockbusters. Tony, Steve, and Bruce. Tony Stark, Bruce Wayne. Who's Steve? Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, dear D. Gordon has a terrible steals percentage. When do I start worrying about him getting thrown out every time he tries to steal a base?
I think it's too early, and it's funny because the other night on the Marlins broadcast, they were explaining how he's got this new technique where he grabs the bag with his hand to prevent oversliding and improve his percentage. It's obviously not coming to fruition just yet, but you know, there could be something to that, and that could improve his ratio in the future.
Steve Rogers is Captain America.
Oh, okay. Ah.
So you're on the right track there, Adam.
Beautiful. Here's an email from GP. He says, grade the trade. Hey, Tom, John, and Ron. You guys think about that. I play in a 12-team daily 5x5 head-to-head categories league. He needs pitching. What does he need? No, he needs hitting. He's got good pitching. So he gives up Victor Martinez and Matt Harvey. He gets Miguel Cabrera. 12-team league categories. V. Martin Harvey for Miguel Cabrera.
I thought you said he needs pitching.
No, he needs hitting.
Oh.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so we're grading it?
Yeah.
I definitely like it. I'll give it a B-.
See, I'm gonna go C-. I mean, obviously, as of right now, you know, Victor Martinez doesn't have a good season. It is a B-, but I mean, if he gets it together, I think that's a little too much for Miggy.
By the way, those are Mets Game 1 World Series pitchers, Seaver, Matlick, and Darling.
All righty.
So there you go. From Kyle, should I drop Will Myers to stash Hunter Pence? It's a points league.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, if that's the worst player you can drop, hopefully most people have somebody worse than Myers.
Here's a question from a regular listener. 10-team points league, 1 catcher, 2 DL spots. I have Mesoraco and Wieters. I have Wieters in a DL spot, but I have Jose Fernandez using the other, so what should I do? Should he drop Wieters? I don't really get this question.
Well, no, he wants to stash Jose Fernandez. He's got, well, yeah, okay, you can't put Mesoraco. You can never put Mesoraco in a DL spot because he's never going on the real DL.
And
you
can't drop him either. So, yeah. All right, who would you guys pick up off waivers for him? Grandal, Rosario, Zanino, or Hundley?
That's yucky. I'll go Zanino.
Yeah, I've got a league where I've got Zanino, and I was trying to decide just this morning if I was frustrated enough with him to drop him for Hundley. Like, I'm really frustrated with him.
Grandal would be my next choice.
Now, Grandal's not available in that league, so.
Well, Heath, we're not helping you. We're helping a regular listener here.
Hang on. This is a 10-team league. He's saying his DL spots are full of Wieters and Fernandez. Who is he dropping for this catcher?
I think Wieters.
No, he can. His DL.
Oh, yeah.
So, if this is a situation of, I am just going to keep starting Mesoraco or start one of these crap hitters who don't deserve to be owned in a 10-team one-catcher league, I think I'd just keep starting Mesoraco.
Yeah, that's a good point. Last one is from Dave from Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm convinced half of our listeners are from Michigan. Grade the trade, 12-team head-to-head categories. I give Shane Green, Stephen Vogt, and Addison Russell for Andrew Kasher and Michael Pineda. Oh, that is an A.
Yeah, I was going to say A-.
I don't think it's quite that good.
Yeah,
it's not a super high-end player here.
Oh, Kasher and Pineda are both better than those
I'll
are the two best players
B+.
In the deal.
I'll give it a B+. I don't think it's an A.
I'll just give it a B. I mean, are we underestimating the Stephen Vogt impact here?
Potential lapse.
Well, he said Vogt was a waiver wire pickup, so I'm assuming he has a catcher. Oh, no, he doesn't. He has Wieters.
And either way, the Kasher and Pineda side's better. I just don't think it's a landslide.
Dave, I would fly to Grand Rapids and shake your hand for this trade.
Well, that's strong. Creepy.
We're done here. Thank you, guys. And this is my last show. It was after tonight, FanDuel winnings. I'll be heading off to Hawaii.
Playing that $1.
$1, but I could win like $500. So.
Flying around the country, congratulating people on their good trades.
Yeah.
No matter what happens tonight on FanDuel, it's going to be a fun show tomorrow.
Absolutely. Okay, thanks, everybody. We're out of here.